Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Both Nigel and I going to Aldino Maggiulli, who took over the practice for Lee Shapiro, but he lost his... It sounds like the same thing, right? He was allergic to the equipment. He was allergic to the equipment.
I've never heard of a man saying, I'm allergic to latex, and it actually being real.
Are you... Is there... Should I not
I'm
have named
I'm now scanning the room. I'm scanning the room to see how that landed. I'm looking at the rat graffiti on the wall. I'm taking a long pause. Taking stock. Okay. And we're back.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
That show was great. That show in New York with Reale and Pablo, that show was great. And
it was
can't
okay.
do it every day. We do this show every day from Washington, but that every once in a while, that was a great show. Live from Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, about a block and a half inside the line in the capital of the United States of America. We're here with Gary Braun and Chris Saliza. Celebrity intern Matt Williamson joins us. Nigel is going to run the board. Wilbon will be with us later. We have a lot of people in here today. Thank you. So we're going to be doing the show. This is the last big week of the summer for us. We do the show today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will do a show. Then the hiatus starts, but we will do a show next Monday, and these will pop up every once in a while. And we hope that you enjoy the fact that they pop up every once in a while. But this is the last solid week of this. To open the show in the normal way with sports, I'm just going to say that the highlight of my day yesterday in terms of watching TV was Jordan Spieth. Mm. Jordan Spieth, who had gotten himself into trouble in the tournament in Connecticut. It's River Highland, right? Is that what they call that course? River Highland? Is that the one in Hartford?
Yeah, in Hartford?
Yeah.
Not Avon.
No, in Hartford, where they...
That's why he said
did
Hartford.
Did you pay any attention?
He's not listening.
No, he's not.
He's not listening.
I'm listening.
Just total
well,
daydream.
Well, you just tease. He's so excited now, knowing that he's just got to deal with this for another week and,
yeah,
and get out of Dodge.
Get out of here. So Jordan Spieth shot even yesterday. He did not have a particularly good day. He missed very makeable birdie putts, I felt, on 16 and 17. He got into the sand on 18. I thought he was going to lose the tournament.
Yep.
I thought he was going to lose to Daniel Berger. But he got out of the sand on 18, and then he ends up in a playoff and goes in the sand again on the same hole on 18 and dunks it.
Walk off.
And dunks it. And it's just, it's
why did
fabulous.
Why did he throw his club at his caddy?
He threw his club.
Very angry. He was so excited.
Great
looked like he was
going
to lose.
Tiger Woods had done that back in the day. There would have been a lot of hand-wringing today.
Yes.
Yeah.
See that boy
hot,
throw
hot
his
takes,
club?
Hot
the
takes galore.
That would have been insane.
Hot
it?
Takes galore.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, in related news, thank you for mentioning Tiger. The Tiger tournament begins here in Washington this week, and Tiger will not be here. Of course he won't be here.
I mean,
he's in rehab. He's not going to go out in public at all until he's ready to answer all the questions of what's with you? What is your health? What have you just been doing? Even though the tournament is named for him, he's not going to do that. So that is the normal way that I would begin the show. And now I will get to the actual beginning of the show. And you might notice that Michael Kornheiser is not here today. He is not here today because, and his father-in-law, Chan Hardwick, is here today. Chan and Moni are in town because on Saturday, one of the reasons I was not going to be at the Jingle Fest because I was in Connecticut on Saturday. But Michael certainly wanted to go to the Jingle Fest, and something happened at 2:21 in the afternoon that prevented that. Liz gave birth to a baby boy.
Hey! You mean you're actually a grandpa now? Actually a grandpa.
I'm a doctor.
So what is...
I'm a doctor.
What did Tony Jr. weigh?
It's a 20 inches long.
He's a big
solid.
8 pounds, 10 ounces.
Two-gapper.
Yeah, could be. Well, what we're hoping for... is 8 feet tall and throw us 110.
Yeah, be a good
and a
combo.
Long
not
career,
unreasonable.
A long career in the
given
majors.
Liz,
like a judge,
given Liz and Michael's height.
Yeah, so that's right. So Chan and I, let's get to, right, Chan, let me just get to the name.
Congratulations, Chan, to you as well.
Yes.
First
yes.
grandchild.
Right,
yeah.
Chan and Moni, first grandchild. Carol and I, first grandchild. So, so Michael and Liz had not at all discussed the sex of the baby. They did not know. They did not know, right? Well, we're solid on this. They did not want to know. Many people want to know. They did not want to know. And so we didn't know. They never discussed with us names. Chan, did they discuss with you and Moni names? I had no idea.
No.
And I had thought, for reasons, they're just odd reasons, I felt that this would be a girl. And so I didn't think of names. But when I got a text from my son, a baby boy, that was a stunner to me. I was on a train. No. I was in a car driving from Avon, Connecticut to New York City, and on the phone it says 221 Elizabeth.
So did you know that Liz was in labor, or he just hammered you with birth?
Well, no. I did know this. Because
you knew she was pregnant, right?
Yes.
Right. Just making sure.
Because we had never discussed any names, and because I did not have any idea whether it would be a boy or a girl, I came up with a name that I would call the baby. Mm. And that name is Bootsy.
Yeah, after
Collins. I like Bootsy.
Yeah.
So I was like communicating. Like at one point, Liz. No, what they said to me was it could be 24 to 48 hours, and that was early Saturday. So I was not thinking that this was going to happen while I was in this car.
That would be my ideal. I mean, like when my kids were born, if my wife had texted me and just said, baby boy, I would have been like, this is terrific, because the 18 hours of labor, just kind of yada yada that part.
So I did at one point, I sent a message to Moni, which said, is there anything new on the Bootsy watch? Because Moni was in town. Anything new on the... And before she responded to me, I got this thing from Michael. So now I'm in a car, and now I actually start crying.
Oh.
Yeah, so... Oh, so sweet.
He's kidding.
Why?
People.
Had you read something sad?
So I started... So anyway, so I don't call, because they're too busy. I mean, and I'm not going to call... Anyway, so then hours go by, and I get another message, and the message is the name. And this name was not, if you'd given me 200 shots at this name, I would not have come up with this name.
Can I guess? Adolf?
No, that was...
that would have been weird.
That was a good guess.
That would have been very weird.
I might have picked that over this. I had no idea. And the name is Walker Thomas Kornheiser. Now, Thomas figured to me. Thomas, if it was going to be a boy, even if it was going to be a girl, there was something based on Thomas, because Moni's maiden name is Thomas. And Chan's actual first name, though nobody calls him this, is Thomas. So I knew that Thomas was way in the running. Thomas was one for me on a boy. You know, that's what I thought. Walker didn't have that. Didn't have that.
If he has a brother, it would be named Texas Ranger?
It could be. So because I like the names like Parker... And Gardner, and Fisher,
Parkour,
Cooper.
Seven. Remember
Apple.
George Costanza wanted to name his child seven after Mantle.
So, Tony, you may or may not remember this. I had forgotten it. My wife, go figure, had not. But when I told her Walker's name, she said, oh, that's very interesting. And I said, why? And she said, don't you remember?
This is Kim talking.
Yes. Don't you remember Tony after Spike and Ike, whose actual names are Carter and Alex, were born, Tony
Carter,
eviscerated us on the air.
Yes,
that's for naming a nice Carter Carter. Present.
And she said she remembered this very vividly. Apparently, she had not forgotten that. You know, Tony just went on about you don't name a kitty or no porter, no painter, no booker, no farmer, no wheeler.
Yeah, for that reason.
Right.
So Walker.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
if the dog needs to go out, Walker.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, in what I was saying last night, in our case, in the next place that I live, it'll be walkers on the left, wheelchairs on the right.
That's right.
It'll be assisted living.
So, did you attempt to, even though the die had been cast, did you attempt to change the name?
Bootsy.
Tell him, Michael, you got to go with Bootsy.
Did you express your disapproval?
No.
Before doing it on air.
No.
Of course. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And this is a perfect example of how we as kids of parents, and us as parents of kids, how the kids change and help the parents evolve.
The great rule of life is if you can't make fun of your kids, what is the point?
Right.
So true.
Okay. Why do you have them?
You can do that. I named my kids, and I had total choice of names for my children. Michael and Liz have total choice of names for their children. That's fine. There's consequences to everything we do. I understand that. So I began to rationalize. Now, Walker is also, right, Chan? Walker is a name from Moni's family that goes all the way back centuries.
Yeah, back in the 17th century.
Yeah, so, okay. So now the only Walker ever heard of in my life was Walker Cooper, who used to be a pitcher in the 30s, I believe, for the St. Louis Cardinals, I believe. I believe he had a brother, Mort Cooper. I believe they were pitcher and catcher or something like that. You mentioned Walker Percy, who was a senator from Illinois.
Well, I was thinking of Walker Percy, the author.
Oh, then I have that wrong,
yeah,
too.
Okay. Walker Percy is a pretty famous author.
That virtually everyone in Virginia is named Walker. But I remember Wally Walker from Virginia.
There's a Walker Cup.
He was a good shooter.
Paul Walker.
Walker
Fast
Cup.
Fast and the Furious.
Okay, so what I said in my first text to Michael.
A lot of last name Walker.
I tried to be very, very funny, and he'd never even responded.
Scott Walker.
So I wasn't that funny. But I said, oh, so you named him after either Walker Cup, which would be aspirational, or all the things. He and Liz was walking. Liz and Michael and Moni walked miles and miles and miles last week, and this is apparently to induce labor and stuff like that. So I said, oh, you named him in recognition of how you spent the last week. Recognitional. And I got nothing back. And then I said, Walker, wait. Bootsy! Walker, where's Boots? Bootsy! And I got nothing back.
Walker.
Nothing. Nothing.
Walker Evans is another famous Walker. Photographer.
Don't know.
Very famous photographer.
Don't know.
He basically took all those really, really famous pictures during the Great Depression, the black and whites.
Oh, okay.
In the Midwest.
But not pictures of people with huge eyes.
No.
Freaks like Diana Arbus.
No,
taking
not
freak
those.
Pictures.
So there aren't a lot of famous Walkers, which is good.
Right. I went to see the baby yesterday.
Right.
I went to see the baby. And I, when I got to Union Station, I got in a car. I said, just take me to GW. And I said, I'm going to go see the baby. So I go see the baby. And I didn't hold the baby.
Yeah.
I touched the baby's left hand. That was enough for me.
Sure.
And I didn't hold the baby because Carol was holding the baby as if she was a squatter in front of an apartment building. She was not letting this baby go. There was that phony offer of, do you want to hold the baby? Don't you dare hold the baby. No, I just touched the baby, and that was enough. Yeah. So now I'm walking out.
Probably enough for the baby,
and I run
too.
Into Chan. Like, Chan is arriving at the hospital.
Why do you sound so surprised that he would be
there?
Well,
no.
Just had a baby.
But both of us.
What are you doing here?
Both of us on Friday. Both of us on Friday, we had communicated. We both said, well, if the baby comes on Saturday, the baby comes on Saturday. I got a 9 o'clock tea time, so did he.
Right.
Because what are we going to do? We're not going to do anything.
Baby's got the rest of your life.
We're not going to help. So, Chan, you held the baby.
I held the baby.
Wow. Very grandfatherly.
Yeah, it was good, right?
Yeah, I held the baby. I thought it was named after the pony, but Michael owned for a while.
Right, the Walker pony.
That's right.
Yeah. So then we had dinner last night. We toasted the baby. Chan cooked. Fabulous chicken.
Mm.
I completely forgot there was a baby for most of the evening.
Right.
And it was lovely. And I think Michael may be here tomorrow. Maybe. Right. I don't know.
Whenever he can get here.
But now he's going to be mad at
that's
me
great.
For telling
no,
all these stories.
Right. Why would he be mad?
And the baby's beautiful.
Heartfelt congratulations.
I mean, the baby's beautiful. Like, yes. It was great. Moni was saying, I think the baby looks like Michael. Well, both Michael and Liz have blonde hair. The baby has a lot of dark hair.
Yeah.
So we don't even know if it's the right baby.
That could change, though.
Could be anyone's kid.
Yeah. But I felt the baby looked like every other baby ever born. And I think most babies look like Winston
Churchill.
They're
all swaddled in the same blanket.
Yeah.
You know.
The baby will be great. What we're hoping for. Michael did say something funny when he said, yeah, Walker Thomas, kind of name that can get you into PV. So I appreciated that.
Landed Gentry.
I thought that was good.
They should have put the third.
And I'm thinking maybe, gets to be real tall, throws 110 miles an hour, has a long career in the
majors. How is Michael? I exchanged some texts with him, but is he excited? Is he nervous?
Yeah.
Is he tired?
Well, they're tired. They're both very tired.
Yeah, they think they're both tired now.
You know, they're going to get even more tired. Yeah. I guess they go home today. I'm not on the short list on this. I'm not included.
Yeah.
I don't know.
First call.
No, I'm not. I'm not the first call. I mean, eventually, I think Chan and Moni will. Well, Moni's there, right? So she'll know everything, and she'll tell Chan. And tomorrow I'll find out what happened.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be great. So have I done well by this?
Yes. I made fun of my own child,
and I love this.
Well, careful. You made fun of your own child and your 2-day-old grandchild's name.
Michael texted.
I guess it was Nigel Lace and I on the little thread there.
Diesel.
He texted us a picture of you sitting in a chair, sort of on the arm
Michael
of a chair.
Oh, Michael took some pictures.
Yeah, we saw the picture.
And Carol in the chair holding a baby. Right. And I thought, oh my God, your mom had a baby too. Like the day after your baby. What
stunning.
Are the chances?
We didn't even know about it.
And I was like, that makes for like a weird uncle situation.
That's really good.
Lo and behold, it was Walker.
Now, will you like make some sort of saddle so that Walker can ride around on Chessie in the backyard?
Oh, Chessie. This is now, what do we do? What?
Right.
Now, my
She'll
theory
go right
was,
for the throat.
My theory was you get the smell
you gotta
of.
You got to rub some scent on the
Get the
kid,
smell
yeah.
of the baby.
Right.
You get it on a blanket.
Right.
You put the blanket on Chessie, and Chessie gets used to that particular smell.
Yes.
Or, you know.
That's good. You don't want Chessie nipping at the baby.
No, we don't need her hurting the baby.
No,
at
no
this
hurting
point.
The baby. So,
it's good. Introduce the
baby
smell.
Not yet. Not yet really mobile. Not yet. You know, not
verbal.
It's a disappointment.
Verbal?
Yeah, not verbal.
Or mobile.
Not mobile at the moment. Not yet. So anyway, so that's my story, and
well,
I'm sticking to it.
Yes, congratulations.
Dr. Mr. Grandpa, Tony.
People say all the time, what do you want the baby to call you? I'm
Mr. Kornheiser.
Doctor.
Yes.
Dr. Kornheiser.
Right, Dr. Kornheiser.
Dr. Kornheiser.
He didn't get that honorary degree for nothing.
For nothing.
Though,
absolutely right.
Dr. Kornheiser.
Quick, funny story about that. My mother-in-law, who is called Nana by the grandkids and now by her husband and by all
of
us as well.
Now. Yeah.
But the reason she is called Nana has nothing to do with the grandkids. It's because when Kim got pregnant with Sydney, who was our first and her first grandkid, she now has 5. Someone asked her in my presence, what are the kids going to name you? And she said, I don't know. And I said, they should call you Nana because you're always Nana, 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 Nana.
Nah.
So that's, you know, it was a slam.
But
on,
Nana
on my,
is a common.
It does work. But yes, it's because she's
the kids are going to call. You know what?
One.
The kids are going to call you what the kids are going to call
well,
you.
I can only hope
that's
that this kid
works.
Calls you Bootsy.
Yeah, Bootsy would Bootsy be great.
That would be a good one.
That'd be great. All right, we'll get out of here. Wilbon is next. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
In honor of my son, I'll do the underpants read here.
Is this the underpants read?
Yeah, this is it, the MeUndies read. MeUndies are the softest, most comfortable underwear you'll ever wear, period. And summer is the perfect time to upgrade your underwear drawer because everyone is thinking about looking good and feeling good, and MeUndies are the ultimate feel-good undies. Every pair of MeUndies is sustainably sourced, made from Micromodal, a fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton. If you're used to buying boring underwear, MeUndies will change everything because MeUndies comes in all kinds of colors and patterns, and they release new limited edition patterns each month that always sell out. So I'm hoping they have, like, children's sizes, like baby sizes, and we get Walker on the bus right away to get everything.
Maybe,
you know.
But Walker's probably still a few months away
from underpants.
Yeah, I think they do diapers for the
this month's
weeks.
Patterns what? Were designed really? By the legendary wow. 80s clothing brand Cross Colors, with names that live up to their bold design and bright colors. Increase the piece, you dig, and the OG. They're not for me.
Can we isolate? Can we isolate that
they're
sound, please?
This is new. This is new copy.
Increase
is it
the
OG?
You dig?
It's the original.
The OG.
I don't know. You've got to see them for yourself, and right now you'll save 20% off your first pair and receive free shipping only at MeUndies.com/TonyK. There's a reason MeUndies has sold over 5 million pair to date. You'll feel it when you put them on. If you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. Get 20% off your first pair plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/TonyK. That is MeUndies.com/TonyK. And one more time, MeUndies.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Will Salisbury, St. Louis-based band Money for Guns. This is the top track from the latest AP, Another Season in Hell, The Gaslight Sessions. That's welcoming. The song is called A Pistol and Some Dreams, and Will writes, the desperation and desolation of the landlocked Midwestern existence. That's the one feeling I've been chasing the last 15 years in countless songs and verses, that base emotion that you can't change anything, so you want to destroy something, anything. And I finally caught it, and we put it in the song. It's also about burning down a gas station, so you know there's that. This This is. Okay, you want to go get that? Knock yourselves out. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He is in Chicago. What are you doing? What are you doing in Chicago?
I'm enjoying my home.
Come on,
I'm enjoying
man.
My hometown.
What you doing out there, man?
No, but I mean specifically. You played yesterday, didn't you?
I mean, I played. I played badly. That's all I do anymore is play badly. But one of the reasons I came home specifically now, Tony, is my park district, and in Chicago, neighborhoods are very much park district oriented. Each neighborhood has a name. You hear people talk about Inglewood and, you know, various neighborhoods. And so I live in West Chatham, and there's a park. And
this is where you grew up, or is this where you live now?
This is where I grew up.
Right, okay. Because where you live now is
on the south side, where it's just downtown.
Yeah.
So there was a reunion of the people. Most of the people who grew up in that park, not all of them, most of them also went to us, went to the same grade school. And I was told that there was going to be a reunion of those people who grew up together in the 60s. I mean, you know, in the early 70s, early mid 70s. And, It was crazy. And so I just said I got to do this. And we have one of these like every 5 years. I'd been to a couple of them maybe 10 years ago, another one 15 years ago. And it's just in the same park, the same people barbecuing on the same street.
Oh, it's outside. You don't hire a hall.
No. You know,
okay.
You just do it. And it was just a spectacular, cloudless 71 degree summer day in Chicago, something you know nothing about in Washington. And I'll just tell you the laugh out loud moment for me. And there are people you haven't seen, Tony. People I haven't seen in 25 years, 30 years,
right.
Close to 40 or maybe more. Played Little League with some of them. Went to, you know, I mean, just, you know, you lived with these people. The first, in my case, 17 years of my life. And people are coming outside. They're pulling up in their cars. People from out of town. It's crazy. It's great. You know, you're never going to see some of these people again in your life, the rest of your life. And so at one point, the younger kids, when I left, they were younger, meant they were 12 and 13. And, you know, I was 17 when I went to Northwestern. So they were 12 and 13. And, you know, they're coming around and saying, Mike, I know you don't remember me, but I was so-and-so. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember you. You're Doug. You're so-and-so's little brother. And they said, yeah, and Bone and T-Bone and Kenny and, they're all going to be here. And I said, what's Kenny doing? Where's Kenny? And they said, and about 40 people stop. And I go, yeah, what's Kenny been doing? Little Kenny. And everybody stops, like the old E.F. Hutton commercial.
Yeah.
And they look at me as if I have two heads. And they said, what's Kenny been doing? Yeah, little Kenny. I'm Princeton. What's he been doing? And they said, he's been raising Chance the Rapper because that's his father, you idiot.
Really?
Awesome.
Yeah. Really? Oh, well, how would you know?
Well, everybody else seemed to know. I didn't know. It was just funny.
Did anybody...
Wait. Chance the Rapper's father?
So he's famous, Chance the Rapper.
Huge.
Yeah. Just blew... So never say to me again, no, you're the most famous person in your... No.
Okay, well, did Chance anybody at least have the presence of mind to shake your hand and look at you and say, so what have you been doing?
No.
Okay, so everybody knew. It would have been so great. So,
nobody did that.
Okay.
And so, you know, it was just a hysterical moment where you go, okay, did Chance the Rapper grow up here too? Yeah. 80th and Princeton, right there, big boy.
Well, Chance the Rapper.
It was a paper route street for me.
Yeah, but he can buy the building you're in now. Right?
I mean, he's, the neighborhood.
Yeah, he's really low.
By the way, doing a ton of good, Mike obviously knows this, but doing a ton of good Chance for public schooling in Chicago.
Oh, good.
Made a huge donation.
Oh, good.
The guy is, my goodness, he is. You know what? I don't know that there's, you know, there's no more, you know, Ditka doesn't live here anymore, Oprah doesn't live here anymore, Michael Jordan doesn't live here anymore. Hell, Jimmy Butler doesn't even live here anymore.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
And we'll get to that. Yeah, I think. And whether they lived here or not, I mean, Chance the Rapper. And I've met him a couple of times, and probably that explains also when I first met him, he gave me a look like very warm, just charming. Maybe there was a look that I now look back on and think, oh, my God, he's thinking, is that all you got from me, old man? You grew up with my pop.
And he didn't know. You didn't know.
Grew up in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't, you know, it's just, again, he was, you know, it was just funny hearing that from other people, you know, that everybody knew that. And so it was just
well, they don't go by last names. How would you know? You wouldn't make that connection.
I didn't even know that was his last. I didn't know his. So Mike, his father's name is Kenny Chance.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's too many years. It's too many years. Hell, I don't. There's too many things I don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 17. Hell, that was 41 years
it's,
ago. For
it's
me.
Ken Bennett. I just looked it up. His last name is Bennett. Yeah,
so
yeah,
he just took Chance as a name he wanted
well,
to
Chance
take.
The rapper. Well, yeah, you don't want to say just Chance. You confuse him with other chances.
Name. Right.
Yeah. Entertainment.
Like
name.
The card from Monopoly or something.
So did you just by just speaking of chances, did you see Spieth yesterday? Did you see the shot?
No. I didn't. There was no television. There's not many days in my life where I don't turn on a television for 24 hours. I haven't had a television on for 48 hours.
Oh, well, I did. Being in Connecticut, I have no idea what happened from Thursday through Sunday. I have absolutely no idea because I'm paying no attention to that. But I did get to watch Spieth yesterday. All right, Jimmy Butler, this is a big deal, I think. This is I'm not going to go back and revisit.
Well, before we get to Jimmy Butler, by the way, I mean, first of all, Gramps, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a big deal.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
And that's just awesome to hear, and all the details that you shared with me yesterday. Very thrilled about that.
Good.
Yes. That was a big conversation on the golf course yesterday with Don and Vince, who wish you congratulations as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So Jimmy Butler, yeah, that was that is by far. Well, the Blackhawks dumped a bunch of people too. I mean,
That was a money dump with them, remember?
And they just said they're going to blow it up.
Right, right.
They're going to blow it up, and they blew it up.
Right.
And it's like, wow. And so Jimmy Butler, people, it's a difficult deal here because Jimmy Butler is the last vestige of that team that thought it was going to contend with LeBron, wherever he was, in Cleveland or Miami for several years. And they really only did it two different years, you know. And they really only truly did it one year in the conference finals where they had a 1-0 lead and a fourth quarter lead in game two and should have won that game. Jimmy, that was LeBron's first year in Miami. And Jimmy Butler was the guy who, when he was drafted at number 30, I believe, 30, that night, to me and others, I was there in New York, he said, I understand why they drafted me. I'm a guy who's not a star, came out of Marquette, so people here were familiar with him, but not many other places. And he said, I'm being drafted to help do what I can do to get in the way of LeBron James. I understand that. And that may not play well where people are big stars in New York and L.A. That plays wonderfully here. As Mike Ditka would say, that's a Grabowski. That's what that is. And Jimmy Butler made himself a player. He went from being a guy who would help out trying to guard
LeBron.
He's
a really good player.
Who become a three-time All-Star.
He's a good
and a
player.
Second-team All-NBA player, second or third team, I forget which, and a max player, a max salary player, and a player that became coveted by franchises, you know, thinking they're close to something. And just a man about town, a guy who's at the restaurants, and he's out, he's a Chicagoan. And so the trading of Jimmy Butler is just being greeted. I mean, people have lost their minds here.
Well, he was rumored to be traded, obviously, to Cleveland. There was a story we did 2 days before the draft that people were saying, Cleveland people were allegedly saying to him, you don't want to go there because it's dissolving. So it can't really be a shocker that he was traded. And I would think that on some level, people would be happy that he's reunited with a coach who really, really loves him, Thibodeau. I assume they have a good relationship. But what you got back ain't much. Ain't much.
Well, I don't know that. I disagree with that, okay. Perhaps. And no one's happy for anybody. Tony, we don't do that. We're not magnanimous toward other people.
Even when a guy has played so hard for you and you know.
No, that means you want him to continue to play hard for you.
So does this mean that the brain trust of the Chicago Bulls is in trouble because this is so unpopular?
You know, I don't know how long they're going to be given to see this rebuild through.
Right.
It's the first rebuild since Rose, and that was 08, 09. And If he'd been traded to Cleveland, then Max and Gar, who I like, they could have just kept going too.
okay, right.
You trade him to Cleveland, you can say goodnight.
Right.
They were smart enough not to get involved with that. And so I understand wanting to rebuild once you've lost all those people I referred to, Rose and Noah and Dang and Taj Gibson, even in the later wave of people who put together a roster that, with Jimmy Butler at the center of it. Butler's record, we looked this up during the winter, and I don't know if it's still this.
He beats LeBron.
Record against LeBron.
It's good.
It's like 27-25.
It's probably the best of anybody.
It is the best. No one else. There's somebody, like Portland has a couple of guys who are like, 7-5 or something. But I mean, of people who have volume games against LeBron, Jimmy Butler is the guy who's played him the best. And so, no, nobody's happy here. Now, I'm not, unlike other people, I'm going to say I may not wind up being all that mad. Look, I understand wanting to rebuild because you're not doing it. You're eighth. You're in that place in the NBA where, you can either do the Sam Hinkie route. You got to do something.
Right.
To get better, and that's trades, free agency, and the draft. Mostly the draft. And so, they got this big kid Markkanen out of Arizona who's, 7-1 and an extraordinary shooter. And, he's a rookie. How do you know? Zach LaVine averaged 19 points a game last year at 21 years old.
Oh, I didn't realize he was that good.
Coming off an injury.
Okay.
Coming off an injury.
Right.
And so he started all 82 games 2 years ago. Started all 43 last year that he played in, and then all 43 of the team's games, and he tore up his knee. Now, torn up knee is not – that's not the favorite nation status around here.
Right. I've had that with Rose. Right.
Well, yeah, it's a history. It goes back beyond Rose. It goes back to great players, including one guy who wore number 40 on the Bears. And so knee around here makes people flinch. And so Zach LaVine, you don't know what he's got. When he comes back, he's young. And who's the third person? Oh, and Dunn, Chris Dunn, who the Bulls tried to trade up to get last year from the draft. So here, that's the story. And somewhere else, in the rest of the country, and I had to deal with this on draft night, sitting doing the show. It's in the rest of the country. It's Minnesota looking like the young lion. It's Tibbs saying, "I'm not going to be in the lottery every year. We're going to get better now." And I think with the addition of Jimmy Butler, they're a team that after the old guard in the West of, San Antonio, Golden State, the Clippers are not going to be that anymore one way or the other. I think Minnesota is going to just leapfrog right over all these other teams in the West and be up near the top.
All right. Get you out of here on this. Cubs-Nats, you're not going to be around for Cubs-Nats. You're going to watch on TV, right?
No,
you're not even going to watch on TV? These are not games. What are you going to do? What do you mean?
It's June. I mean, seriously.
What are you going to do at night?
Go to dinner?
Well, they have TVs. They have TVs
that'll be over by
restaurants.
6, so...
See, my dinners don't start at 5:30. I'm not with the blue hairs.
Okay, but...
Dinner means being out. I'm out, in the greatest summer city, in my opinion, and a lot of other opinions in America, and there are restaurants and bars and people to see and stuff to do. And no, I will not watch at all the Cubs Nats. I mean, I may catch a peek if there's a TV at the bar. And I don't think most people are like me about this. I'm not going to get fanatical about baseball right now. The Cubs have been somewhere between a mild disappointment and to a big disappointment, even though they're probably about a game and a half out of first in their division.
Half a game, I think.
Half a game.
They're very close.
Milwaukee lost yesterday, too.
I think
so. They're a game over 500. The Nats will and should sweep them.
Well, I don't think they'll sweep them, but I think they should win the series.
Last year, the Cubs should have and did sweep the Nationals.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what will happen.
Okay.
Don't come to me and ask me if I'm shocked whenever the series. It's a four-game series, right?
Yes, ending with a day game.
It's a minimum 3-1 Nats win of a series with probably something like a run differential of 16 or 18.
Nats would be happy with that. All right, so I'll see you later in the week. Have a good time.
Gramps.
Yeah, thank you. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will get out of here now. We will come back with news. Yes, news?
Sure.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
There's a band called Hot Pink Hangover. They get amazing fans on Facebook and YouTube pages whenever they are on this show. We'd love to hear another track played on your show. This one is called Fly. It's a rock ballad, which showcases the softer side of Hot Pink Hangover. This is sent in by Davey Hazard, who I assume is in the band. And he says, also, out of curiosity, if you were forced to bet $1 million on where LeBron ends up next year, where would you pick? I'd pick Cleveland.
Yeah,
he's under contract.
Now, 2 years from now, we think it'll be Los Angeles. Somewhere in
Los
Angeles.
But he's under contract at the moment.
Los Angeles.
So, anyway. All right, Nigel has news. Can I... We're going to have a lot of material in Old Guy, right, Chris? You're going to talk about the disaster that was your family vacation.
I mean, if you want to hear about my trip, I have a lot of material.
How many Gary, rounds do you...
No, mine was oddly like a nice vacation.
No, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear Chris's stuff. All right, do the news.
Lane.
Mr. Tony, it was a nice start to the weekend for the Washington Nationals.
They won one game like 10,000 to 1. 18-3.
They took 2 out of 3 from the Reds. 18-3 on Saturday. 6-5.
Can I just say that this Wilbon thing, it's so infuriating when he says and the Nats are going to sweep.
Well,
this,
you know,
he does this deliberately to set the bar.
Sandbagging.
They're not going to sweep. They don't sweep any, but they're not going to sweep the Cubs.
Now, they
should win the series, but they're not going to sweep.
18-run differential. Okay.
Stop it.
And that way,
and by the way, Strasburg and Roark can't get out of the first without being tagged.
Yes, Roark lets up 5 runs in the first inning. They lose to the Reds, 6-2.
And the Reds are the worst team in baseball, right? Am I right on that? Aren't they the worst?
No, the Phillies are worse. Yeah, okay. The Phillies are 24-49.
Yeah, the Phillies are horrendous.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing about this for the Nationals is, you may not have heard this, there was a Nationals fan by the name of Patrick Killebrew, who passed away on June 20th.
No, I don't.
This is how the obit reads from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Pat, age 68, passed away peacefully at home June 20th, 2017, after watching the Washington Nationals relief pitchers blow yet another lead.
Oh, no!
Beloved father and husband, longtime attorney, former U.S. Navy navigator, and avid baseball fan and player, joining a celebration of his life, blah, 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 in lieu of flowers, send donations to the Nationals bullpen fund.
Sure, sure. So Blake Treinen killed him?
Yes.
Joe Blanton killed him.
Yes.
Romero killed him.
Fat Matt Albers killed
him. Fat Matt Albers killed him.
Yes. Sean Kelly. Don't forget Sean Kelly.
Wow.
That's good.
Closer of the future.
Yeah. I know you've got your DVR set for tonight, and just in case you can't stay up for this, but the NBA awards are this evening. I believe it's 9 o'clock.
Does this season never end?
No, it doesn't.
Does it never end?
It doesn't. We think that Harden's going to get the MVP, right?
No.
Westbrook.
Westbrook.
So this is the only thing I wanted to say about this. The NHL does this, right? They have this award banquet.
Yeah.
Does the NFL have this as well?
I
think they just release it. As does baseball. They just sort of say, here's who won.
Well, baseball lets it out day after day day to try and get maximum publicity. Russell Westbrook is going to and should win the MVP award. And it is totally hollow. It's totally hollow. Nobody cares. He couldn't get his team out of the first round of the playoffs. This happened to Dirk Nowitzki about 8 or 9 years ago. He could not get his team out of the first round of the playoffs. He's going to go up there. There's going to be this great montage. You're going to see everything that he's done. And in his heart, he's going to say, what is the point of this? I don't want this every single year. I want to do what Durant did. I want to get on a team that's got a chance to win. Because you can have all the MVPs in the world. If you don't... That's nice. It is nice, but you want to win the championship, and as constituted, Oklahoma City has zero chance.
Right.
Zero. Don't you feel the same way?
Yeah, the two best players, and that doesn't necessarily mean MVP, but the two best players are clearly, well, I guess in my opinion, are LeBron number one and Durant number two.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can debate Steph Curry, Harden, Westbrook, everybody else after that, but those are the two best players. If you're starting a team and you want to win today... You pick LeBron, and then you pick Kevin Durant. You know, and I mean, I love your dislike of Westbrook's chestiness. I sort of love because he embraces who he is so unapologetically.
And that's fine. And when he goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, it's going to play a lot better because they're going to put a team together that is going to be capable of winning.
Although, because they now have Lonzo Ball and the good. Collins' brother. The good Lopez brother.
Yeah.
So they're potentially, I mean, I think that they have a real shot with Westbrook, and if Lonzo Ball is as good as they say.
Westbrook will be fine receiving the ball from Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Because
Lonzo Ball don't want to shoot.
Because
that's perfect for him.
He understands, Westbrook understands that the strategy he employs now cannot win the championship. No. It just can't.
And he'll be fine with a reduction in assist numbers.
Yes.
If he's exchanging for more points. I would just add, you can diminish the value of his season. That's fine. You can say he couldn't get them out of the first round of the playoffs.
No, he had a great year.
I would say he could get them to the playoffs, which without him they would not have been within 20 him. Games.
Right. No, he had a
but
he's
his season
great.
Was yeah, season was
he's great. But when you go up and receive that award and you're not getting a championship ring, yeah. it's, that well, doesn't
I
mean
will,
as much.
I will watch because I'm very interested to see what he wears.
He's yeah. a great dresser.
And Harden too. I mean, they wear some. A bunch of those guys will. The clothes will be a huge part of it.
Westbrook's in the fashion business.
Yes.
So I expect him to look great.
You watched 0% of the NBA draft?
I watched 0% okay. of the NBA draft.
So I watched a bunch of it. And one of the most fascinating things is, you know, they do the interview right afterward. Uh-huh. ESPN has a set interview in the yeah. first with the first guest.
Yeah.
They talked. The woman doing the interview, whose name I can't remember, asked almost every one of them what they were wearing.
So it's sort of like a
yes. like who they were like wearing,
a who and yeah, what they were
right.
wearing.
Okay.
Like Markelle Fultz, it was they had obviously been prepped on this because they went to Markelle Fultz and he takes his jacket off. I guess the new thing for a lot of these guys is the liner of your jacket of your suit coat obviously can be customized. Why do,
human you know, skin.
Yeah. Why do and we they, promote Indochina?
Right.
Because you can
and they had Markelle Fultz at all this stuff in the inside of it that was like pictures of him at Washington and all this really. So they yeah. Like the style was a huge piece. It was like the second question.
It's a red carpet show.
Yes.
It's a let me that's just, what it is.
Let's offer one more thing as a public service announcement for all you kids out there listening. Before you say this was, you know, unbelievable and how Harden's going to get stuffed, we will remind people of the 61-62 season when Oscar Robertson did not win the MVP despite 30.8 points, 12.5 rebounds, 11.4 right. assists.
Wilt.
And Wilt Chamberlain did not win the MVP despite 50.4 points, 25.7 boards,
that's
and
it.
2.5 assists. But Bill Russell won the MVP
yep.
at 18.9 points, 23.6 rebounds, and 4.5 assists.
Bill Russell wins the MVP because his team always wins
yeah.
the right. championship.
But that, those are three unbelievable, three yeah. all-time seasons.
What else you got?
How about a sneaker deal for you, Mr. Tony? Because somebody who you wouldn't think would get a sneaker deal actually has one, and that is celebrity chef David Chang. You might have known from Momofuku, his restaurant.
What'd you call me?
So what do you mean he has a sneaker deal?
It means that Nike has his own sneaker. It's the Nike SB Dunk High Pro Momofuku. It goes on sale this week for about $110.
He's an interesting dude. He is... full disclosure, rep by the same talent agency I am.
Right.
But also is a guy who's into a lot of different things. He has a magazine called Lucky Peach. Like, he's one of these people who I think is the new model of being, like, being a celebrity and being famous, which is you're not just a chef or a restaurateur. You also do I mean, it's like Jay-Z. He's a rapper, but he also is a business owner. Is it like LeBron? I mean, like, all these people.
Do
they,
you think that people will go out and buy a sneaker because a chef
if it's cool,
endorses
and I'm oh, looking at Gary's
it's
got
an,
a picture
it's an
of it. Yeah, it has a peach
Nike
on it.
With a well, peach on it.
Yeah. Sure.
It's actually
sure.
supposed to be like a denim in honor of like okay, the uniform like that the you know the chefs would wear or something like that.
I mean, do I think like it's apron. Going to be as
can
big
I get
a
this deal from my daughter? I mean, she's a chef.
I think you probably should.
What?
Get her a shoe deal?
I mean, you
go like LeVar Ball.
I understand. Yeah, I understand why you would buy sneakers with basketball players. I understand that, but
I mean,
chefs?
Again, I
well,
don't think
food
it's
service
be...
people. I mean, I hope they're wearing shoes in your kitchen I mean, here at Chatter, right? Well, they need shoes.
Well, good for. I mean, good for him.
Yeah, right.
That's sort of a breakthrough to me.
It's, that, I mean, yeah. I do. I think I it's, would, the new I
like
model.
Novelist,
it's the new model well, of celebrity.
Is somebody going to sign John Grisham to a shoe deal?
That'd be interesting.
Well, you can write barefoot though. So that's a bad analogy. A bus driver would be a better one.
Well, you can drive barefoot, right,
not legally, not a bus.
An interesting.
Do you know that for a fact?
Do you know bus
I
laws?
I would be willing to stake my professional reputation on it.
You have no reputation.
No, that's not. Well, thing. Zero times zero is zero.
That fact notwithstanding, I would stake it.
This was an interesting story that you saw. I actually saw this over the weekend as well.
It's a horrifying story.
A lot of people don't know that back in like 1941, the Nazis sent 6 spies over to the United States.
This is front page on Saturday.
To commit acts of sabotage. They, you know, unloaded like crates of dynamite and fuses and all this
stuff.
It's
understandable. We did that.
Long Island was one of the dropping off points.
Montauk.
Yeah, Montauk. They were all rounded up very quickly and they were all executed. In fact, I think one of them turned evidence on the other.
Yes. And not all were executed. 4 were executed, 2 lived. and were deported later.
It says, well, in this, it says 6 Nazi spies were executed.
Oh, well, so, but I thought one of them was the leader who turned everybody in.
No, I think he also met with a bad fate.
I don't think so.
So they were all executed within the course of like an hour, you know, they all rounded up.
Yeah.
So everyone forgets about it. It's sort of this forgotten thing in history. And then somebody who's walking around some park in Washington, some field, some power company guys were walking around. They stumble upon this stone placard, and it says,
it's in their honor.
In memory of the agents of the German Abwehr, which is their secret service, executed August 8th, 1942, donated by the NSWPP.
The National Socialist White People's Party, which later became the American Nazi Party with George Lincoln Rockwell.
And a problem, well, there's a lot of problems with this. One of the problems is it's on federal property.
Get it out of here.
So they were able to track it down, and I guess finally in 2010, they were able to remove all of this.
But it's not destroyed.
No, it is not destroyed.
And there's no disclosure in the story as to where it is. It's somewhere. So that would be a good treasure hunt.
Yes.
Wouldn't
yes.
it, if you could find that? That's crazy.
It is an absolutely crazy story.
Yeah, what else you got? You got anything?
I got one more story, and I know this. You wanted to speak about this personally. There was a story written in the Washington Post, again on the 21st, talking, and the headline is this: dinner for two for less than $100 in Washington. Good luck. And I would say to the author of this, Miss Becky Kristol,
Kristol.
Is it Kristol?
I have no idea.
You can find that deal here
at Cheddar. Cheddar. With drinks. Three people can eat for $100 at Cheddar. Three people. So take your nose out of these fancy tail-up goat places and Rose's Luxury, which are wonderful restaurants.
Great places.
They're
yes.
wonderful restaurants, but of course you can't eat. No, of course you can't do that.
Right.
Well, the Palm is a great restaurant. Of course you can't eat two people for under $100.
Yes.
But you talk about what was annoying about that story is it talked about neighborhood places. What are we? We're in the neighborhood. Cheddar, we're a neighborhood bar and restaurant.
I'm standing right here. Definition.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So come here. Don't be snobby. Come here and eat for less than $100.
Absolutely.
You can. Now, if you're going to drink all night,
that's going to run.
But, you know, a regular dinner.
I'd prefer not to eat for $100, but I certainly could.
Right.
You know, it's just not my taste.
You know, I mean, this could happen. Could happen here. At the Loomis Chafee School for the Rich, you're taught that the beginning number at all dinners is two.
Right.
I don't go to any place where there are how much things cost are listed on the menu.
Right. Why would it matter?
Market price, that sounds good.
Yeah. So you could come to Chatter. People today enjoying breakfast, 6 people for less than 100, maybe.
There
or at least four.
Yeah.
There you go.
4 or 5. How's breakfast?
Yeah. Right.
Fancy. Nobody's sick yet.
Nobody's sick yet.
Yeah. One guy.
One guy.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with old guy. We're going to hear about Chris's family vacation when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Movement Watch ad, and the symbol for Movement is MVMT. MVMT Watches, which is pronounced Movement, was founded on the belief that style should not break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 1 million watches sold to customers in 160-plus countries around the world, Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest-growing watch company. You have your watch on?
I don't have it on today, but I wear it.
But you wear it all the time.
They're really nice, and I've told this before, but I regularly get compliments on it. People ask me where I got it.
So that's good.
It's really nice. And I say, I got it at the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Absolutely, where we're going to start selling watches. We're going to get T-shirts. We're going to sell Chatter T-shirts, right? Is Ronnie here today to help with this? He's not even here. He's just a loser,
maybe
Ronnie.
Tomorrow.
Come on, Ronnie. The company started by two broke college kids who wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them, so they started their own watch company. Movement Watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price. Classic design, quality construction, styled minimalism. That is not the easiest word to say. Styled minimalism.
That's how I describe Nigel's style. Minimalism.
Yeah. Over that's 1 million watches sold in over 160 countries. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/Tony. This watch has a really clean design. Chris has been getting compliments, as he just said, since he put it on. Now is the time to step up your watch game. So go to mvmt.com tonycornheiser.com/Tony and join the movement.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the birds. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Was this 51 years ago?
Yeah, I think 65.
Oh, 52 years ago? Yeah, the number one song in the country.
That's right.
It's a great song. The weirdest
thing
was...
They wrote it. It was terrific. I love their work.
Yeah, Dylan covered them, right?
Did you hear they were blown in the winds?
So the thing about them, I thought they were really good. Their lead singer, his actual name is Jim McGinn. He's the guy who plays that 12-string guitar, the Rickenbacker guitar.
Right.
He changed his name to Roger. Changed his name to Roger.
Yeah. Always wanted to be a Roger.
You're going to change your name, change it to something cool like Bootsy.
Yeah, Bootsy's a great name. So they had their drummer, they had two guys named Clark. They had Gene Clark, who quit the band because Gene had a bad experience on an airplane. They had the drummer was named Clark. His last name was Clark. David Crosby, obviously in that band. Who else is in that band? There were five.
Hold on. I'm not seeing it right now.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, they were great. Keith Moon, not in the band.
What?
They were great.
Chris Hillman?
Bass player. Fabulous.
And apparently when they recorded this, the guys in the record
company... Chris Hillman, I think, went out and joined Poco after this.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think so. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Let's see. Flying Burrito Brothers, Manassas, and Desert Rose Band.
Okay, Flying Burrito Brothers.
Yes.
He was in Flying Burrito Brothers with Graham Parsons, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That I do not know.
Yes,
I think that But was. Apparently They're when great. They were recording this, everyone's like, yeah, this will be pretty good. We don't know if it'll be a big hit. But they were very nervous, so McGinn was the only guy that they allowed to be recorded. Everything else was a session musician. They said, you're the
guy. Right?
He's the only
one.
He
was famous
for
wearing those granny glasses all the time. I mean, they were very fashionable. The birds were very, very fashionable.
Yeah, and this was did this sort of propel them? Was this sort of make them?
Yes, this was their big song.
Yes.
Thomas Buford in Seattle, Washington, thanks everybody, is happy to be here, and writes at the end of his letter, this is not smart, but it is handwritten, which is what's important
very
to
true.
Us. The effort is involved.
In blood.
We got candy here from Mina Wynn. Dear Dr. Kornheiser, enjoy these Johnny Walker blue chocolates from here in Kansas City. We're more than just barbecue. And then she writes, I don't imagine this is going in the prize closet. No, it's going home. It's going home. Nobody's getting their hands on these.
It's for Walker.
Aaron Halliday, the president of Checker Cab in Bloomington, Illinois, writes, I've been a loyal little since 1998. I want to thank you for bashing that ride-sharing service last week. As the owner of two taxi cab companies in central Illinois that is struggling in the battle against this service, I was glad to hear the story of Michael being ripped off, but displeased that as soon as they were ripped off, they used the service again using another account. Come on, man. The last thing I knew, DC had cabs. Enclosed, and I bring this up because we gave out today's prize package included exclusively beer nuts.
Yes.
Because enclosed in this package, you will find some beer nuts, which are made in my hometown, less than 3 miles away from my office. Also, some assorted goodies that I've used in the past as forms of advertising my business, including a couple of Checker Cab condoms. Whoa. That we distributed to the students at Illinois State University, the college home of basketball great Doug Collins. I've also included 3 tickets to Jingle Fest and the Jingle Fest bus tour. I'm not able to make it this weekend, regretfully. Maybe another little could make it. I didn't get these till today.
Perfect timing.
And we should point out,
we're happy for the beer nuts.
So that littles aren't offended when they hear that you are giving away things that they may have intended for you.
No.
Today's gifts to us are tomorrow's prizes to
That's
the attendees.
Exactly right.
We sort of we pay it forward.
Unless they're really good, and then we keep them.
So right. I know I said this before because Uber is in the news all the time, and every single story about Uber and their problems with their board members talks about the culture of the company. It's a cab service, for God's sakes. It doesn't have a culture. You call and you say, I want to go from point A to point B. Come and pick me up.
Livery.
That's all it is. What? How does this become? How does this become more than that? It's a cab company.
Well, because their origins are out there in the tech corridor, out there, you know, in Silicon Valley, right? So they feel like they're part of that sort of scene.
It's a cab company.
Well, yes.
Amazon delivers stuff to your door. It's a delivery company.
Careful, would you like to respond to that, Mr. Saliza?
Whoa. Yeah. No, not anymore.
Right, you don't work there anymore.
No, I'm fine.
That's right. That's what it is.
Now, if we have any discussion about the terrific shows on TBS and TNT, that's something entirely different.
So Chris and Gary went on family vacations over the last week, And Gary, you said yours was actually normal?
It was oddly normal. Frankly, the highlight.
Did you go to a water park?
We went there, actually. We went to an all-inclusive in Dominican Republic that did include a water park, which I...
Did anyone need to show proof of life at any point?
I spent about 10 minutes the first day at the water park. Just because it's like on the campus. Like, the kids wanted to go there, and we went and checked it out. But, I was saying to people, my kids have now reached the age, and Chris, you will appreciate, this is a good juxtaposition, I guess, to your situation, where it was almost like vacations I used to go on before I had kids. Like, they just go do their thing.
Okay.
You tell them where to meet you when.
Well, they're safe, right, because it's all inclusive. Oh, yeah. And it's an island?
Yes, so it is an island. It is an island, although it is it's not an island because it's attached to Haiti. So I guess it isn't really an island then, the Dominican Republic.
When
right?
am I ever going to be back?
Oh,
in Haiti?
I thought
it's only surrounded. It's a peninsula. Technically, I would say Dominican Republic is a peninsula. It's surrounded by three sides on water, and one side is Haiti.
Okay, but you could at some point have been on an island off the coast.
No, it is an island.
The whole thing.
Right? I mean, help me out here, people. Dominican. Yeah. So if you're on an island...
No, but I'm talking about a small... Look.
Technically, everything's
the United States is not itself an island because it's attached to Mexico and Canada.
Well,
but Long Island is an island. It's an actual island.
All right, well, that's fine, and it's an island. Yeah, it was an oceanfront resort type thing. It was beautiful. I had a great time. But let me say this, and I guess we'll probably get there some
point. Don't
bore
us with normalcy.
No, the highlight of the vacation...
All happy families are alike.
...despite my 4.5-hour flight delay was returning and getting to spend the last couple hours Saturday night at the Jingle Fest thing.
How was it? Did everybody here go to Jingle Fest? Did most people?
Many of them here, I do recognize.
The incomparable Robert Berg is here, who says he performed and remembered many of the words of the songs he had written.
It was amazing, as it always is. That thing never ceases to amaze me. I got there late. I stayed late.
I did suggest to Michael at one point that Jingle Fest might be a good middle name.
Ooh.
That would have been very cool. That would have been nice homage paid.
Right, but it was done.
So, yeah, that was very cool. It's always cool. I mean, the performances
were
great.
Who else was there that we know?
Oh, my God. You mean us?
Was Liz there?
Liz Clark was there. David Aldridge
was there.
Jeannie was there.
Okay, good.
I showed up on the late end. Bonnie Burko was there. Bonnie Gets It Done.
Gets It Done.
For a little bit. You were out of town. Michael had just had a kid.
Right. Will Bond.
Nigel was out of town. Chris was busy doing other things.
A
lot of people said to me, and I can say it because Chris is here, this is the room. A lot of people said to me, my favorite room is when it's, you know, Nigel, Tony, you, and Chris, but someone else is in Chris's chair. And I agreed. I mean, that's also
just tough.
I get that a lot too. Yeah.
And let me just give one other shout out before we get to Chris's trip. According to the Twitter machine, Stephen Okun, is he still here? I guess there he is. Is here from Singapore.
Fantastic.
To see the show. Yes.
Golly.
Just give it up to Stephen. Yeah. Give him some beer nuts.
Give Stephen another package of beer nuts.
All right. Welcome to the
show. All the way from Africa.
Now, Chris.
Yes. Well done.
Chris smartly went to Florida in late June with 20 or 30 people, all related by family ties.
I'd like to say that's an exaggeration, but it's not. There were 18 of us.
How many children?
Eight. None older than eight.
Discount rides? Was it a ride theme park and stuff?
We did not go on any rides. Too many little kids.
No go-kart, no mini golf?
My older definitely didn't go on go-karts or mini golf. My older
How many kids
son,
threw up?
Oh, my younger son throws up.
It's his move.
Right. Yeah, it's his bit. Right. Like multiple times.
He lives with you. I get it.
He threw up the first night we were there. Just right in the sink. Right in the sink. He bounces back super fast.
Well, he rallies.
In his defense.
Yeah, he rallies.
So the first day that we were there, within 10 minutes of going into the house, I walked down the stairs.
You're in one house?
Yeah.
18 people?
Well, they have like these
in
10
one
bedroom
house?
Houses.
Huge.
How many bedrooms in a house?
Like seven.
Elevator?
How many bathrooms?
Oh, four or five. I mean, it's huge.
It's not enough. Everyone needs their own bathroom.
We were 18 bathroom house.
The master bedroom, which my wife's sister took, was huge and overlooked the ocean. Ours was right off the front door and was far smaller than this table.
So how could you allow that to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I assume that given that I'm on television, I would get
the best room.
Absolutely. Treatment. I don't know if you've seen me. And you watch midday cable television.
kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So within, I'm not exaggerating, within 10 minutes of getting there, I'm walking. Everyone's like, come down to the beach. Because my son and I were late because my son played in, we postponed our flight because he was in the baseball championship game, et cetera, et cetera. So we were there late.
Win? Lose?
They won.
Okay, good.
7-2. Right.
Why did you even go at that point? Why not just take them to New York City for 3 days?
Right. I walk down the stairs. There's a stairwell to get down to the ocean. Everyone's like, come down to the ocean. It'll be great. So I'm the last person in the house. I go down to the ocean. I miss a step. I fall on my leg. And I think, I'm not kidding, I think I broke a bone in my toe or foot.
Did gravy come out, you fat bastard?
So I couldn't.
Wow. That's a shot right there, isn't it? The crowd. Getting,
he's down 20 pounds. He looks great. He's down 20 pounds.
I am down 20 pounds.
It looks good. Yeah. It looks good.
The phone.
Oh, somebody's phone's ringing.
That's for me.
That's my doctor.
It's Michael. You're disowned.
So you get that.
So for the next 3 days, I cannot move. I've done something
to my foot. So it's a great
vacation. Well, the good thing was when my foot started to feel better, that's when the tropical storm blew in.
Oh, you had that?
Well timed.
Oh,
you bet. You bet. Oh, tropical storm Cindy.
Really?
2 days pouring rain and wind.
Hey, kids.
Was it cold? Monopoly.
Let me just tell you one thing
like
50s, that I did.
60s,
no, it
hot,
was warm, hot, but it was rain. Bowling alley opens at 11. Hurricane Lanes, appropriately named. We get there at 10:15.
Got to get in line.
There
to come
are
to the show.
75 people in front of us.
Oh no!
So it's like,
you
know, this is
like you too for you.
I've become a great line waiter. So a lot of arcades, lot of bowling,
sports,
and then at the end, so we did 3 days where I could barely walk, and I was a hypochondriac. Breaking news, and I was like asking my father-in-law every 10 minutes whether we should go to the urgent care, and then. the last 2 days that we were there, a stomach bug broke out in the house.
Yes. Oh, no. You didn't have enough bathrooms.
Norovirus.
It was a little bit of touch of the norovirus. So that was terrific.
That's why I've been on a cruise.
Yeah.
Nope. You'll never go on it. You cannot possibly be willing to go on this again.
Nigel said that he would have told his wife that, like, I'm just not going. You know, like, I'm just in circumstances.
That's why I'm so sorry.
I mean, it's just like my wife would not, that's not an option. I mean, this was like her father's retirement trip. He had worked for 47 years at the same place he was retiring. He wanted to go here. They had set it up. So it was a non-option. But, you know, I
made it. My children never, together, they've never gone on family vacations with me. Right. They know it would be terrible. They don't go.
The best is when you're on Open Table looking for reservations and you're like, oh, let's go here. 18? Party of 18? Right. It's a nightmare. You can't go and do anything or eat anywhere.
You have to hire a private chef to come into the house, a party of 18.
Well, I mean, I've not been the host of a long-running and extremely popular show on television for the last 15 years.
Well, I don't go on those things, but I think that's what you have. If you're 18, where are you going to go?
And can't you just say, like, oh, we got reservations for us. Did you guys not? Oh, I'm
okay,
sorry.
I wanted to do that. I repeatedly advocated that we all didn't have to do the same thing at the same time.
Right. Well, there's no chance.
You could go back to Washington.
We had 3 separate that I could go eat at the Ritz and they could go eat at Johnny Fuddruckers or whatever. You know what I mean?
Have fun.
In a junk store down the street.
Right.
So what? And amazingly enough, we had 3 separate cars. We went and did everything together, which to me is the definition of madness. Why don't we break it up a little bit?
Right.
Particularly once the neurovirus hit.
And what town was this?
It was
Destin, Florida.
Which is
Panhandle.
Nice.
Destin as in destination?
Nice. I'm sorry.
It was nice.
Tony can
honestly
crush it.
Was
nice.
It was
it's
the
nice.
Panhandle was very nice. When you think Panhandle, I think you think Pensacola, which I do think is a total
that's
junk store.
West.
Right.
But that's way west. This is like a very resorty beach town. Beautiful beaches, nice water.
Except
the
for the
2 days that we could go in.
Yeah, except for the virus and the storm.
Because even after the tropical storm cleared for our last 2 days, riptide, you couldn't go in the water.
Of course not. Yeah.
So you glanced over something that I want to address. Your father-in-law, you had talked about hurting your foot and asking him if you should go to urgent care. So I was assuming he was a medical professional, but then you said he worked at the same place 47 years.
No, he's not a medical professional. I just asked him a lot.
What did he do?
He worked at AT&T.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just want other opinions.
Somebody can set up a phone line for you.
Yeah.
You know.
By the
way, what's great about it is my wife, this always happens, my wife, when I told her I had fallen and hurt my foot, she just immediately gets very angry at me.
Yeah. Oh, you. Well, yeah.
She's always
like,
about
what?
You.
Yeah. 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 What?
How dare you? Yeah.
I'm like, it's pretty swollen. She's like, oh, come on. I'm
rub
like,
some dirt on it.
I think it
let's
might be,
go.
I think it might be broken. We may have to amputate.
That's
probably Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I now have my book, The Complete Manual of Things That Might Kill You.
Fantastic.
By the way, do we also picture that every morning when Chris comes down for breakfast at that group house?
I didn't come down because it was right next to the door.
He introduces himself. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm on CNN. Yeah, I'm your sister, Chris. I know you.
Yeah. Well, I bring a stack of 8.5 by 11 glasses.
Yeah, just grab your Sheriff Price Club lasagna out of the oven.
Do we have time for me to share one quick story from my adventures over the weekend?
Quickly, yes.
I know you will appreciate this. I was at a concert. I went to a couple of concerts over the weekend. I know you don't love the band. It's the Grateful
Dead. Or like
them.
No. He hates them.
Although, on one night, they did play Hard Rain's Gonna Fall by Bob Dylan. I think you might enjoy it.
Yeah, they went on for 30
The Eagles
minutes.
Wrote that.
Everyone is so old in the crowd, and I was there at Citi Field on Saturday.
This is good.
And I'm down on the field, and it's, as Chris knows, he was just at U2, it's very difficult to sort of make your way through the crowd. And all of a sudden, there's this one guy burrowing through. He's blocking for another guy. Please, we have to get through. And as a bloke, and he's walking, standing up like this, and his hands are over like this, and he's
good
says,
for radio.
Sort of says, leaning to one side.
Yeah, leaning to one side. Yes.
Yeah, it's good
and
for
he
radio.
Just says, "My back went out. My back went out." And it was, of course, because everybody's 150.
Throughout his back.
Mid dancing 5 minutes into the concert. It's very amusing.
Never dance.
Yes.
That was a great story.
Thank you.
Not as good as Chris's, but a great story.
Mine is just all star-crossed and how I can never enjoy myself ever doing anything.
That's what makes us so happy to have you here. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Do we have a jingle today?
We have a jingle from one Gary Braun.
And do we have any email?
We do, yes.
When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Comes Tony's mailbag, got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, gotta read some for all you folks.
Thank you, Gary. Gary did that live.
Very happy.
Not this time. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Wilbon for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, MeUndies and Movement Watches. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I just went out and did some pictures, and there are people from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Chicago, and Iowa. So it's good. We had
and Singapore,
wide range
apparently.
And Singapore.
And thank
and
you
Canada.
To this great crowd today
yes, thank
for
you.
Coming to
Woo!
Chatter.
Give it up. From Dina in Damascus, paying for a bus tour to go to a grocery store where people are taking selfies with cottage cheese is the stupidest thing I have ever done. Until now, emailing a podcast about paying for a bus tour to visit the refugee Safeway is now the stupidest thing I've ever done.
So, in
did
talking,
people go
listen
to the refugee
this, Tony,
Safeway?
In talking to Littles about this, at,
and am I
at the
right?
Jingle
There's
Fest.
Nothing on
it's
the
terrible.
Shelf.
They had 80 people, two busloads of people, descend
really?
Upon the refugee Safeway,
oh
and
gosh.
I saw selfies in front of the avocado. I can't imagine
like
what
in front
people
of the Lucerne cottage
can you imagine
large
what the people who worked there thought as these
where else
people?
Did the bus tour go?
Went to Bagel City.
Calvert Woodley. Went to Bagel City. Went to Calvert Woodley.
La Cheeserie, which again...
La Cheeserie.
It's like a cheese cabinet. It's a cheese counter.
Feet right. of counter space is all it is.
The best is that on the side, it now, when you drive by, home of La Cheeserie.
And Sam, Michael so gave good. The gave Jerry some platters, which were at the event Saturday night. A lot of people... I think they moved a lot of product. And
that's great.
And a little birdie told me some of them were in the hotel lobby till like 4 a.m. drinking some of that product after they'd been kicked out of the hotel bar.
So I also I think some people went to the Palm.
Yes.
Right,
Friday
at one
night.
Point some people
yes.
went
yes.
to the Palm.
Yeah,
that's
Friday
great.
Night.
Okay. Right. From Jim Freeman. Last weekend I was getting my wife a new car, which by the way I hate every aspect of. The salesperson helping me was actually really great, and as usual we talked for a long time. In conversation he mentioned how he'd recently moved to Florida from D.C. So of course I immediately got excited. Running through my mind are all those things we must have in common. The Palm, Chatter, DC traffic, DC weather. At some point later, I mentioned that I listened to a DC podcast that talks about a lot of local stuff. Have you ever heard of Tony Kornheiser? He does a podcast. He's also on ESPN. Does a show called PTI.
Crickets.
Anything.
Crickets.
Well, he bought
He's
a
orange.
Restaurant recently. Chatter. It used to be Chad's. Chadwick's. on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer. So I bought a car. From Carla Corrado, now in Columbus, Ohio. According to the failing New York Times, volcanologist Jess Phoenix is running for the House of Representatives as a Democrat in California's 25th congressional district. Because this is hashtag sad, please help me discern which is more hashtag fake news, that a politician is really named Jess Phoenix or that volcanology is really a discipline. The paper says her parents are FBI agents. It's like Paige Jennings got into American politics. Something in the story reeks of misinformation. From Les Carter in Chicago. My good friend and Laura Little, Ovi Tisler, celebrated this past Father's Day with the birth of his third child, a non-masculine child called Scarlett. I'm now shamelessly using the birth of Scarlett to get an email read on Scarlett. The podcast. So please pass along congratulations to Ovi.
Congratulations. I call him Walker.
Congrats. From Bill LaHecca. I had the pleasure of visiting the D.C. area this weekend. I attended Jingle Fest, a.k.a. Nerds in Paradise, and it was a grand spectacle. Oh, here we go. He's going to describe the bus tour. My weekend started off on the bus tour where we visited exotic locales like the Refugee Safe. Oh, my God. Bagel City, the McDonald's restaurant on Rockville Pike, and Calvert Woodley with their famous La Cheeserie section. All of these famous sightseeing destinations were experienced on a bus that had no shock absorbers and was literally falling apart. A screw from the bus fell on my head. Next, our death bus was magically whisked away to Chatter, where my fellow little compatriots dined on delicious food. No, seriously, I'm not being sarcastic. The food was excellent. I love my burger. Now I understand why Wilbon was upset there was no chili that one day. That evening was Jingle Fest, a rousing concert of talented littles performing karaoke for other littles. The best performance of the night was Tony Beeson's live performance of I Have a Piano. And just like Bob Dylan, Tony played an all-new arrangement for the live crowd. But unlike Dylan, who does that because he gets bored easily with old arrangements, Tony did it because he literally cannot recreate the magic from his MP3. It was truly magical. It was an amazing weekend. I met many littles like Ed Butt, Jamie from Chicago, reconnected with others. I just cannot explain how much fun that weekend is and the work that Jerry Negrelli and the other jinglers put into this endeavor. Just entertain us, all because you open your mouth. Thank you for talking. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white, and thank you so much for coming.
This book is devastating.
Yet it wasn't much to see. Just another skinny kid from East Missouri. But he's got a pistol and he's got some dreams. He said, no, sir, you're gonna listen to me.
there to greet me, singing I've been gone too long, saying words no one's there to hear me. Keep thinking maybe I was wrong. I'm falling now. When I once knew how to fly, and I'm aching now. Keep asking myself why. I thought it would be easy out there on my own. I thought I could be famous, but now fortune, it was right here all